Pat Collins's most recent film, Henry Glassy Fieldwork, follows celebrated folklorist and anthropologist Henry Glassy on his latest research project studying folk art and cultural production in Brazil. Glassy's work involves total immersion in the culture of the community he chooses to study. Previously, he's lived with ceramicists and rug makers in Turkey, and in the 1970s, he spent 11 years in the border community of Ballymanon in County Fermanagh. His fieldwork there produced 5 books, including All Silver and No Brass and Passing the Time in Ballymanon. I'm absolutely delighted to be joined on the programme this evening by Henry Glassy. Henry, this film of Pat Collins's, it opens with you. You make a short, there's a short statement that you make to camera, if you like, and then for 1.5 hour with absolutely no words, we just watch several artists in Brazil, sculptors, printmakers, and we watch them making the pieces of art that they make without comment, without guide. Their names appear on screen as we go from one to the next. But it really struck me that opening half hour of the film by Pat Collins is an exact mirror of the way you work yourself in how you go about looking at these communities and the people within them.
That's certainly an accurate observation by you. I think that Pat captured me perfectly by leaving me out of the film. The film is wonderful. I can tell you that one of the glorious things in my life has been working with Pat Collins. The man is patient. He's a great artist. And it was just terrific to work with Pat. And his vision was to follow my vision for us to go together, which we did through the backcountry of Brazil, and for him to capture just beautiful, beautiful footage of the artists that I love, working hard, being excellent, being artists. It was a wonderful, wonderful experience to work with Pat. And I have to say, because we're just here, that you've already provided me with a terrific seg, because you've just given me all the songs from my childhood. I mean, Sunday school singing Amazing Grace, and you've got, for heaven's sakes, the great Doc Boggs' version of O Death.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all familiar stuff. So you started me with my childhood, and now you're launching me into maturity with my time with Pat. But I'm telling you that Pat and I have become dear friends as a result of being good colleagues. Mm. And Pat's patience and Pat's artistry were a wonderful part of my life experience.
Well, I'm sure he would say immediately he can only do that because he's reflecting what you do yourself. But you mentioned your childhood there, and let's go right back there and how lucky you were in that childhood in two aspects of your grandparents, your grandmother and her great love of history, and your grandfather and his great ability with wood.
Well, you're absolutely right. For my grandmother provided me with an interest in history, and it was probably an interest in history that brought me ultimately to Ireland. But at the same time, my grandfather was a master of mystery. He was unbelievable that he could turn a wrecked old tree into a beautiful table. And so that mystery of watching him work has guided me from the very beginning to the end. But it's also true that my grandmother knew exactly the kind of songs that were just featured, 15 minutes ago in your show, and so that what it's a, like I say, it's like old time coming back to Amazing Grace is just a beautiful experience for me.
Yeah, well,
the
title of that album, They're Calling Me Home, in some ways is what that music must do for you, and it was music, in fact, and the music of the Southern States of the United States of America. It was music that was your initial interest, or certainly your initial route into what you did, I think.
Well, that's exactly right. I considered myself to be a Southern child. And as a Southern child, there was something that I had to be proud of. And I couldn't be proud of the deep history, but I could be very proud of the qualities of the music. And one of the things that I thought of as a small child is I belonged to a place where people were farmers, people were poor, people were black, and people were white. They got along well together, and one of the things that brought them together was a tremendous high quality of the music that was a normal part of my childhood experience. My great uncle was a champion fiddler, and so I was raised with that music, and when I got old enough to do something serious with my life, I headed up into the mountains, and it was very easy to find those great old musicians. They were still going, Hobart Smith and wonderful musicians. But I also found the whole landscape to be exciting. I found the whole experience. I liked the architecture. I liked the woodwork. I liked the quilts. I liked the people. And that launched me on an experience of taking that kind of a desire to be immersed in a place initially slightly foreign, and then places that became more and more foreign. And I'd always wanted to go to Ireland in particular, not out of some kind of genealogical connection, but rather out of an absolute astonishment with the qualities of Irish literature.
What specifically brought you to Ballymenone in County Fermanagh, Henry?
Well, nothing brought me particularly there. What I did was, when I finally was able to travel, I hadn't traveled much in my life. When I finally got a grant that would allow me to do what I wanted to do, which was serious field work at great length, I really wanted to work hard in a single place, and I chose Ireland because of the literature, and I chose Ballymenone for the very simple reason that the landscape was beautiful. I drove along the border, and in driving along the border, I was looking for a place where I could spend time, long time, with people who were in the midst of serious trouble. Talking about 1972, the bloodiest year of the Troubles. But what I did was I settled in a place that was just beautiful. Not beautiful because of great natural landscape, but beautiful because the people loved their land. They took care of it. The hedges were hacked back. The fields were neat. The houses were whitewashed and thatched. The landscape was beautiful. And I just walked into that place because I said, anybody felt down inside, anybody who cared that much for the land, who cared that much for God's gift, would be kind to a strange traveling guy like me, who wanted to not merely meet them, but spend time with them, ultimately live with them, write about them, and get an understanding of how regular people endure through hard times. That was my goal.
Let's listen to one of the people that you met. You met all 153 inhabitants, I think, of the particular place. But let's listen to one of those men, a man called Peter Flanagan.
They wouldn't touch you, Pauline. They wouldn't touch you. You were a foreigner. It was all Irish.
And what would they do with the children?
Eh?
What would they do with the children?
They say they have the greatest time in the world with the fairies. Uh-huh. And I hear tell of one coming back and said that she would not come back. And only think, 100 years is only like a day in fairyland. Or maybe 1,000 years is only like a day.
That's that true?
That's as true, Pauline, as I got it, really. That's the tradition of the country. They assembled every night from one house to another. I went to your house and you went to my house, and we sat down and we told fairy tales like that. And it seemed to me that it was definitely true.
What an absolutely beautiful clip there, the voice of Peter Flanagan. And that comes from the film we're speaking about this evening, Henry Glassy Fieldwork, Pat Collins' film, but it's Henry Glassy that's speaking to me. Who was the little girl that we heard in the midst of that clip, Henry?
Well, that was my oldest daughter, whose name is Polly. And when I went to Ballymenone, I didn't go alone. I went with my wife and three children, and we settled down in a very inexpensive caravan in that place. And ultimately, at the very beginning, I met Peter Flanagan on the very first day that I was walking around Ballymenone, and ultimately I lived with Peter and became deeply fond of Peter. He was a great fiddler. He was a great musician. I mean, genuinely great musician. His father, Phil, was a great musician. And Peter became a dear, dear friend. And that would happen to be a story that he was telling about fairies at his hearth on the ridge of Brumbargy in Ballymenone. And he told that story, and my daughter was shocked, frightened by it, asked if it was true, and he gave a wonderful answer.
Of course it's true. It's about the little people. It's about the fairies. But it does bring up something, Henry, that I think is very interesting in terms of the way you think about history, if we can use that word. Peter says in the midst of all of that, in fairyland, a day could be 100 years or it could be 1,000 years, because time is not important. And you talk about this and the people, the historians in that particular part of the country, you say how time wasn't their guiding light when it came to telling history. Place was their guiding light.
Well, I think that's a very Irish trait. and a very useful trait, because what time does is it alienates you from the past. Time's passing, chronology prevents you from feeling a connection to the things that have in from the past. But if the past is happening, which was the Ballymanoan view, if the past is perpetually happening on the land in place, then when you walk over the bridge at Drumain, you understand that you're walking over a river where long ago as 1594, there was a great battle fought. And that battle doesn't then become something from the 16th century. It becomes a part of your daily life, a part of your experience of the world. Mm. And all of those historic messages become compelling, a part of your daily life.
Let me ask you about your time in Turkey, because it really struck me in the film what we see there are these amazing rugs that we see being made and amazing ceramic works that we see being made in front of our eyes. That kind of abstract art, you speak very interestingly how that kind of abstraction is made by people who, on the surface of it, you would think, well, they're not going to make something like that. They're going to make something figurative. Just explain that abstraction a little bit further to me, if you wouldn't mind.
Well, I think it's not very difficult. I think that we have, that is, we in the West have a tendency towards the figurative, precisely because we're told that man was made in God's image. That's not a holding among Muslims. Instead, there the vision is that God is not represented in a body. There's no God who's going to create Adam on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel. Instead, God is a force, is an abstract force, is an embracing force, is a drive through the universe. And the way to represent that is through beautiful symmetrical design. And so those beautiful symmetrical designs that appear on plates, that appear on rugs, are really, in some senses, tremendously modern because they're abstract, but they're also tremendously ancient because they are carriers of a particular vision of the sacred, a vision of the sacred that avoids the body and features the spirit. And the spirit is the universal spirit of God, who has created the perfect world that we're lucky enough to inhabit.
Henry, it's fascinating to speak with you, and it's fascinating also to see what you give to us via Pat Collins in the film. Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Well, it was a delight, and it was exciting to hear the music and exciting to talk with you. And I think that anybody would go and see Pat's film would see that that's a masterwork by a great artist having something to do with me, but mostly to do with Pat, a wonderful man.
Henry Glassy, how generous of you to be so kind in your words there to Pat Collins. And the film that Henry was speaking to us about is called Henry Glassy Fieldwork. It opens on Gate Cinemas Online, IFI at Home, QFT Online and the Volta platforms. And that's another hour and 45 minutes of your life that will be well spent if you get a chance to watch it. That is our lot for this evening here on Arena. Leah Murphy and Paula Shields research. Janice Murphy was the broadcast coordinator. Mark Dwyer was in sound this evening. And tonight's programme was produced by Sinead Egan. I will talk to you tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, once again here on RTE Radio 1.